And welcome to Odyssey. I'm your host, Mike Schultz. We talk about ancient and modern mysteries all across the globe. And we have an exciting show for you this evening. The first 15 minutes, we're going to talk about the news. And then we have a psychic coming on the show, and the topic is Develop Your Intuition. Fantastic. Psychic Mike from Las Vegas. But first, we do the news. I want you to look on the BBS website, the main page. I want you to scroll down halfway, and it will say TNT News. TNT News, and that's where I am going every day for my news. I don't trust the mainstream media, the six giant corporations that are filtering all of the news, and so we need alternatives, and the internet is exploding, and BBS Radio has done a fine job every day of bringing up the important stories that are censored and filtered by the big six giant corporations. So let's scroll down a little bit. The first article that jumped out at me was David Icke is starting a new television and radio show all around the world. That's pretty exciting. David Icke's been writing books since the 1990s. He's getting more and more and more popular. He's probably the most cutting-edge, dynamic, free-thinking speaker in the world right now. I mean, obviously there's many, but you got to put him in the top five. David Icke recently spoke at Wembley Stadium in London. That's pretty huge, pretty massive, especially for our field, you know, alternative thought. So he raised money on a filmmaker's site. I believe it was Indiegogo. A lot of you filmmakers out there know about it. And, he put it out there, and within a week he had tons of money. And this is the People's Voice. It's a television and radio show. It's going to be broadcast all around the world. And this is, when we talk in metaphysics about the veil lifting and the truth coming out, this is what we're talking about. This would have been unthinkable 10 years ago, when the internet was just a baby, baby steps. This would have been unthinkable. But now David Icke and a lot of People's reporters, and if you want to be a reporter, you should get involved with this. Go to his website, davidicke.com. This is going to be beaming and streaming all over the world. David Icke will be right in your household and all of his reporters on television. So that's the first article that was posted on TNT that really jumped out at me. So he has a five-minute clip. You can watch David Icke, the People's Voice, talk about his new TV station. The next article that jumped out at me is Alex Jones covers the Bilderbergs meeting, and they've actually posted the whole two-hour show on Coast to Coast, so you can listen to Alex Jones in detail covering the Bilderberg group. They just met last week. It's 100 of the most powerful people in the world. A lot of these people operate behind the scenes. They have a secret meeting of the Bilderbergs once a year. It's been this way since 1954. The first meeting was at the Bilderberg Hotel in Germany, I believe. And the media has always been stricken or forbidden from coming in and pointing a microphone or a notepad or getting any of this information out. Alex Jones kind of changed all that about, 10, 15 years ago when Jim Tucker and Daniel Estulin, some of these great reporters, started holding huge rallies outside of the hotels and getting some alternative media coverage. But this is where, oil prices are planned and, where the next war is going to be and how to suppress free energy and all of these important topics that the Bilderbergs are trying to control. This is kind of where they meet and their agenda. So please do find out about this group. Don't dwell on it. We don't dwell on the negative here. I'm not a doom and gloom person, but you do need to know about it. David Icke says, be streetwise. Know the players in the chessboard, and then go out and have a fantastic, beautiful day. Go out and have an amazing, exciting, dynamic, incredible day. But get the knowledge first. Find out who are the big wigs running this world. That helps you figure out how to vote. Even in your local election, it all filters down. Governor, sheriff, state, Washington, D.C., etc. It helps you make decisions. It gives you power, and go ahead and vote and call your congressman. I do. I know who my congressman is, and I call him, and I call my two senators. I do it about every week or two. Do you do that? Are you involved? Are you active? I do it. It's just a two-minute call. I express my views on a specific issue. I'm not mean or nasty about it, but I'm engaged in this republic. And then I go out and do whatever I want with my day. I've done my, you know, my bit. And I ask you to do that too. Let's see, there's other articles here. There's always articles on chemtrails on the TNT News. It's a story that's ongoing. Since I understand 1997 is when the spraying began in earnest. If I'm wrong on that, maybe some other researcher can, you know, call in on a different show or whatever. We're not taking calls tonight. But I believe it was 97. I don't remember chemtrails at all when I was a kid growing up, you know, the 70s, 80s, at all. To me, this is this crisscrossing of chemicals in the sky. Is a new phenomena. I went to a huge chemtrail conference in August of 2012. My understanding is there's three main chemicals being sprayed, barium, aluminum, and strontium. And we don't know the effects of the environment on these heavy metals. It can't be good. It's not natural. So we don't know the long-term effects or what. There's so many theories about why we're being sprayed. I would just watch the movie. Why in the world are they spraying is one film, and what in the world are they spraying? And those are, they may be free on YouTube. I'm not sure about that, but you can either buy them online or watch some clips. So, you know, that conference was incredible. It was 3 days, and the top researchers in the field really delved into chemtrails. And it's all over the world. It's not just the United States. It's a massive global operation, and it's being funded by you, the taxpayer. So we need to keep a much sharper view on what happens to our money when it goes to Washington. Some of the other articles on here, Stephen Greer has an article on TNT News. Once again, go to your BBS, scroll down halfway through the page to TNT News, and you'll see all these articles. And his article, Stephen Greer, is called When Disclosures Serve Secrecy. Now, he recently released an exciting film called Sirius, and it's getting massive distribution. There does feature an alien skeleton in the movie. It's about 6 or 7 inches, and it's an incredible discovery, and you have to see it to really believe it, but This skeleton has organs, and it's not a child. It's been found to have different DNA. And what he says, and I really agree with this, it's not about disclosure of little green men or grays or tall reptilians. That's not the issue. The real issue is, how did they get here? Because they didn't use oil. They used some kind of free alternative energy. And if they can do it, then we can have it. Then therefore we don't need oil to run our cars and our ships and helicopters, and therefore we don't need these big giant oil companies. That's what's blocking disclosure. It's energy, it's fuel. And I agree with that. I agree with Stephen's point, and I really hadn't thought about that until recently. So until we cross that bridge, or enough of us just stand up and, you know, demand disclosure and do it publicly through our own websites or Facebook pages or what have you, and just go around this block, then we can look at this technology and we can have free energy. Can you imagine, you know, free energy in our cars and in our homes, and how that would change the world and the dynamics and the politics of the world for the better? And that's an exciting thing to look forward to. And many countries, by the way, have released documents in regards to disclosure, Brazil and Holland and many countries around the world. So the U.S. is actually falling behind and lagging behind. As we're no longer an economic power, I go to an ET Media Group in L.A., and we were discussing that other countries are, like China and Russia are don't really care anymore what the United States thinks or what they want to cover up. They will disclose if they want to in their own time for their own purposes. So some of these other superpowers may well disclose on a wide scale at any moment. The United States is no longer controlling the whole ballgame. It's not like the 1950s anymore, where we're in, you know, complete control of the UFO agenda at all. What many, many countries have released documents regarding UFOs. So that's something to be aware of. And so pretty soon we're going to shift gears. We've covered the news, the main stories, but there's many, many more stories on TNT News. So please do check that out. And we're going to have Psychic Mike come on in just a moment. And if he's on, let me know. If not, he will be on very shortly. And the topic tonight is develop your intuition. So he and I are going to have an educational seminar, and all of you are going to get to tune in and get all kinds of practical tips and important information to be more intuitive as you go through your day. I mean, I'm a tarot reader. I use my tool is the cards to help me be more intuitive. And I read by Skype. If you want a Skype reading where you can see me and see the cards, just go to mysteryislands.net. And I've made 4 movies on the Anunnaki. So, and Ancient Aliens, Ancient Mysteries. So those are also on my site, mysteryislands.net. And so that's a little bit what I'm about and my passions and my work. And Psychic Mike, who will be on momentarily, is operating out of Las Vegas, but he is also doing Skype readings, as are many psychics now, because you can actually see them. They can see you. They can show you the cards if it's a tarot card reading or what have you. It's a little more personal than a phone reading. So Skype readings are a new option. So the topic tonight is develop your intuition. And as we're waiting for Mike, I'm going to do one more thing on the TNT News. There is an article about modern-day heroes, and there's a whole list of them on the TNT News, a modern-day hero. Gosh, there must be 40 of them. And I'll talk about a few of them listed here. One that caught my eye is Roseanne Barr. She's become a real free thinker, and she's crossed over to the alternative field. And I met her at the Chemtrail Conference. She was backstage. She was a speaker. She ran for president on an alternative party. And we need more than 2 political parties, of course. And so she was talking about really ending war. And I'm not just talking about sort of kind of ending the wars or kind of pulling back on finances. She gave a speech on really, really ending the wars in the Middle East. And it was clear the difference and that she really meant it. And she talks about chemtrails. And I've heard her talk about the Federal Reserve and the money supply and all sorts of these topics. I've heard her talk about 9/11 truth as well. So Roseanne Barr is someone to watch and see what she's up to lately. I believe she has a Twitter and a following on the web as well. So she's listed under modern-day heroes, and you can see why. You can see how she's really come out strongly with her opinions. So that was one that caught my eye. Alex, oh, hello. Do we have a caller? I think we may have a caller soon. Okay. All right. We'll get the caller on in just a moment. And then another one of the heroes running for president soon is Jesse Ventura. I just got that news that Jesse Ventura, you know, he was a governor, and he was a real free thinker, and he believes 9/11 is an inside job. And it's, I don't know what party he's running under, or I would assume independent, but let's find out. We'll see. But he's a big name. If he hooks up with Ron Paul or something, who knows? This could be anything goes in the next election. Because he has best-selling books, and he's had TV shows. He has a show called Conspiracy Theory that's incredible. That disinformation has been allowed on cable, on True TV. And, okay, all right, so he's a modern-day hero, Jesse Ventura. Now we are going to have our guest for the evening. We're going to have Psychic Mike from Las Vegas. Are you there, Mike?
I am, Mike. How are you tonight?
Oh, it's so good to be with you. Thank you. We're really excited. I've been talking about you, and our topic tonight is develop your intuition. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this topic?
Okay. Well, I think the very first thing I'd like to share with people, with the listeners out there, is that intuition is the most natural and normal way of making decisions. And there's a lot of reasons why today it's not trusted. But, and a lot of it has to do with the Industrial Revolution of going forward from that point where we're working in cubicles and making very quick, high-pressure, rational decisions all day. And because of this conditioning, we lose the sense that's innately part of being human. And if you went back 100 or 300 or 500 years ago, you would find that people use their intuition even more, similar to the animal world. So that's the very first point I'd like to make.
Yeah, and there's a lot of reasons why today.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk about practical ways that you can develop your intuition as you go through your day. One question I have is, we're bombarded by so many different types of data, whether it's newspapers, TV, radio, people talking to us. How do you discern what's an intuitive message that's important?
Oh, that's a really great question. And, you know, the best way, we've all had intuitive flashes throughout our lives. And, for example, the phone would ring and we would know who's on it before we saw the caller ID. Or, for example, we'd get a flash that one of our friends or family members wasn't, you know, was in a little bit of trouble or wasn't feeling well, and you called and it was confirmed that was exactly how they were feeling. And so the most important thing and the way that you can actually know that intuition is spot on, is correct, is when it comes out of the blue. It comes out of nowhere. You were never thinking about it. I don't know why I'm thinking about it. I don't know why I have a song in my head. I don't know why I should call mom or dad. I don't know why I'm thinking about my, or you know, have the image of me getting a new car. You know, all of these things, when they come out of the blue, out of nowhere and you weren't thinking, that's really when intuition is the most accurate.
That makes a lot of sense. It's not related to something you were just hearing or thinking or talking about. It's a completely unique idea related to nothing that you've been thinking about.
It's really the point, like if you go back in your life and you look at the moments when you have these very bizarre thoughts or feelings or whatever, that's your intuitive self coming in, all right, that connection to the soul. And it's at these moments that, you know, there's a need for guidance. Something isn't fitting or something is fitting. And so your own intuition actually, connects and throws things at you. When they're far from left field, that's when you know that they're accurate.
Right. Now, what about your thoughts first thing in the morning, right when you wake up? What about those thoughts?
That's a really good question, too. You know, it's that point right before that lovely analytical mind gets involved. You're kind of coming out of the fog. And sometimes you might hear phrases or thoughts or, you know, you might even be getting messages from the other side or, you know, intuitive flashes. And the reason is because in our conscious state, you know, when we're fully awake during the day, we get many, many impressions about people, places, or potential experiences. But what we normally do is we rule them out. The analytical mind quickly jumps on it and kind of like devours it like a bunch of piranhas. And says, you know, it's not real. But when you're in that, in between the sleep state and the awake state, that conscious mind is kind of asleep. So you've got a higher level intuitive self that comes through at those particular moments, and your mind can't actually shut it off. So that's a great time where you actually might pick up an intuitive flash. And even for myself, when I do readings for people on the phone, I like to do them in the morning, and the reason is because yesterday has been kind of washed away by sleep and stuff. So that's a really good question.
Right. I've heard one good technique is to write down a question right before you go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And it kind of helps direct your dreams during the night.
Yeah, you know, and for people that are just beginning to, you know, start up, it's really interesting because when I'm doing all these readings for different people, I've been truly and honestly amazed in the last, let's say, 3 months. Everybody that comes in to get a reading or everybody that calls in for a reading, I swear they're a psychic or a medium in training. And what they're trying to do is to understand their impressions because they can actually drive you batty also because what you're saying is that, writing on this question before you go to sleep, what happens is that even Albert Einstein in his laboratory times when, you know, he gave it his all with his mind trying to solve a problem, he'd actually go to lay down. And it's at that point that a lot of people believe that we connect to some sort of higher level of understanding. And it's in that dream state, because the rational mind is not or is less involved, that you can actually pick things up. And in the morning, you might just have a fresh view on something, and all of a sudden this intuition comes in and clarifies, no, it's X, Y, and Z opposed to A, B, C, what you were thinking about the day before. So that is a great way to do it. And it's a common phrase that we all use, let me sleep on it.
Exactly. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, I know you do some pretty intense seminars on developing intuition. Why don't you take us through what would be your best technique or most popular technique for developing intuition?
Okay, well, actually, I just did a seminar here in Las Vegas on Saturday. Yeah, so that was a great group of people that we had. And let's see, because then, you know, the course could actually go for 2.5 hours, so you're putting me on the spot here.
Sorry.
The number one key for people who are trying to develop their intuitive sense more is to learn to trust yourself. How many times have you said, you know what, I just knew I shouldn't have been signing that contract. I just had a bad vibe about this person, but I went along with it anyway. I knew I shouldn't have moved into that house. I knew I shouldn't have bought that thing. There was something about that room that told me I shouldn't do it, but I did it anyway. And, you know, as everybody looks back at their life, their intuition had been speaking to them. They knew it at the very moment. They were saying something didn't feel right. And what happened is they didn't trust themselves, and then they had a regret over that specific choice. So learning to trust yourself is going to be the very first thing. And the reason that it's so important to trust yourself is what's happening, kind of like a soul base or an energy base, is that you have a person, a place, or a potential experience that you may engage or not. Your intuition connects into that person, place, or potential experience, wraps around it, and goes forward into the future. And that's why we all have that. You can hear people say this again and again throughout their day and their week. What do they say when they talk about making a decision? I feel. I felt. I feel. Everything's about feeling, right? That's intuition. And what happens is if you trust your intuition, just your feeling alone will give you the right answer as far as the energy between this person, place, and potential experience and your own soul, to see if there's a match. And when the feeling's off, it's because it's projecting in the future that it's not going to work out the way you're hoping for. And that's why it's so important to trust your intuition. But again, you can hear people. They'll say it again and again and again. I don't know why. I just feel I should. Or, you know, I don't know why. I felt bad vibes. Or I don't know why. You know, I felt like I knew him for 10 years when I just met him. You know, so everything's about the word I feel. And that is the strongest and most common way that intuition comes to us, just through a simple feeling that we can't explain.
You know, I just realized anyone who's ever bought a house knows exactly what they bought it because it actually felt right. They couldn't quite put it into words, but it just felt right.
Imagine being a real estate agent. Every time you take your client out, I don't know, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. You know, that's what an agent has to deal with. It drives them
mad. Because you know it's a huge decision and it's a lot of money, and all you know is when you walk into 40 houses, that 41st house felt right to you. It felt like home, and that's the one you made the offer on.
Right, and so going back to what I had just said, your intuition connects with this place, and it projects into the future, and it reflects back a feeling to you, and that feeling is calm. If your feeling is generally calm with a person, a place, or an experience, engage it. If it's not calm, if it feels, you know, I don't know why, but it feels uncomfortable, it doesn't feel right, or so on and so forth, that's your intuition coming back to you, okay? you know, assuming you're not going through a very anxious time, because anxiety and worry and stress are also huge blocks to intuition too.
Right. Now, what about, can we apply this to people? When you meet a person for the first time, you definitely feel the energy off of that person, correct?
Absolutely. You know, you can, I mean, outside of, like, let's say, physical attractiveness, because, you know, the pretty people always attract our attention, right? But, it's about the feeling of calm. Even when words are not spoken, you just see this person, and I feel so comfortable around them. Or within just minutes of speaking with them, I don't know why. It's like, I remember when I had a partner back in China, and one of the things I asked him a few months later, I asked him, you know, what'd you think the first moment we met? He says, the very first moment I met you, I felt like I knew you for 10 years. And see, what happens is that is the two souls that have been separated for a little bit from a past lifetime. We come together, and there's an infinite connection. And we had a rip-roaring wave time, and he kept me out in the bars till 4 o'clock, and I eventually lost my job for him.
But the point is...
God, at least in the beginning stage, there was an intuitive sense of something was there, something was worthwhile to explore. And so a lot of people, they do. They operate based upon feeling. And so, you know, think about, you know, just if you go up to a very beautiful part of nature, think about the calm that you get. When you reach and meet the right person, place, or experience that you can choose from, there's a sense of calm. That's your intuitive self saying, go for it. Okay?
Right. Now, another thing that I do is when I hear a voice on the phone, the voice gives me either a good feeling or a bad feeling, and I'm real sensitive to that. What do you think about that?
Our senses, if you can, I think that it's becoming more and more common ground that psychic phenomena exist. Even the idea of a pendulum, Einstein had stated that at this particular point, we don't understand our own body's reaction that may cause the movement to the pendulum. But what he's talking about is our intuitive sense that actually causes that pendulum to move a little bit. And so as you talk about a certain voice on the phone, what's happening is the idea of time and space are collapsing, because everything in the world is simply energy. And so if this person is based in Russia and he's on the phone with you, you still will pick up an intuitive sense, again, because time and space collapse. And that's the reason why psychics can look into the past. They can also look into the future. And they can also look into mediumship, where they're contacting with spirits who have deceased. The spirit hasn't deceased, the body has. So the thing is that death, time, and space is irrelevant within your intuitive world.
Right. So since you've touched on pendulums, is that a good beginner tool to work with in developing these intuition and feelings?
Well, I'll talk about the pendulum in just a second, but I think for the listeners out there, if you're looking to develop your intuition, just pay attention, and the best way to understand how accurate you are is to keep the mental notes or even like a little journal. You will get impressions about people, places, and experiences, and then after that, you will choose, any of the three, and then you can validate whether or not your intuition was right. On the pendulum, I do believe that a lot of people find a lot of comfort, especially out in starting stages of using intuition or psychic ability. The idea of Ouija boards, it has a negative context, and that negative context has everything to do with, the mainline religions not wishing you to do things that kind of takes your influence away. There's
sure.
Nothing evil about a Ouija board. There's nothing negative about a Ouija board. In fact, it's a tool for you to use. Even the idea of the cliche ideal of psychics using crystal balls, each one of these things is simply a focus tool for a user to use, whether it's a Ouija board, crystal ball, or a pendulum, that focuses their eyes attention, their energy, and their focus into trying to get a answer back intuitively. And so all of those are fine. And I think a lot of people will find those. Same thing with tarot cards. And I know that, Mike, you do tarot.
Sure.
Some people will say that, you know, tarot cards are random. Not necessarily. And part of the reason is that let's look at the real physical application. A lot of people are actually shuffling those cards. So a lot of the people that come in for a reading, they may shuffle the cards, cut them in threes, and then and the way that they've shuffled them has ordered them. Now, how have they ordered them? They've intuitively decided to stop shuffling at a certain point. They've intuitively decided to cut them in three little stacks exactly at the point that their intuition calls them to do. Right? So all of these are tools, and each one of these things are a great opportunity to explore and to grow in your own intuitive self.
Right. I was going to tell you, last year I was working at a New Age store, and they must have had 100 different decks of cards. They were kind of like angel cards and intuition cards. And what do you think of all these that are out in the market? Are any helpful to you, or what's your take on them?
Well, I want to first preface that by saying that, you know what, I've never used cards. And the reason is because my strengths are simply the clairvoyance, which means I see pictures. Like many people, I also get feelings. I also hear names. I get periods of time. All of these have little to do with shall I say, props. So I'm not as familiar with other people, especially like yourself, who has, you know, used them, but I feel they're a wonderful tool. I feel on what kind of cards, that's a great question. Now, the answer is having your listeners simply intuitively draw to a certain type of card, a certain type of deck of cards, and let that intuitive self draw those in. Because as you look into the cards and the explanation of each one of the cards and stuff, each one is still going to be subject to interpretation. And I have another woman that works at a shop here in Las Vegas with me, and we're both readers, and she uses tarot cards. And I, like myself, she also sees pictures, but she didn't trust herself. So she'll throw her cards down, but sometimes she will, I'll ask her, I said, okay, but what do you see on top of the card? And we were talking about the town room that I was looking at buying, and she said something to do with the plumbing. Well, sure enough, exactly right. We had a plumbing leak. All right? So the point is, it's a wonderful tool to rely on to actually allow yourself to relax a little bit more because you have the cards to rely on. But then you can pepper it with your own intuitive feelings or thoughts or pictures or symbols or sometimes you hear something. So ultimately, as an intuitive, you're going to grow with using tarot cards, pendulums, Ouija boards, or anything else. And ultimately, you will find out what your intuitive strengths are above and beyond those particular items.
Right. Now, let's get back to your seminar. We talked about your number one technique is trust your vibes. Give us another powerful technique.
Another powerful technique. First one's going to be trust yourself, okay? And I guess before that is to understand what blockages do we have to trusting ourselves. One is going to be that analytical mind, okay? And remember, we're now in a society that is very different from every other society for 30,000 years of human history. Today we're working 40 hours a week. Today we may be in cubicles. Today we may have bills to pay, spreadsheets, you know, computer, Nintendos, all the other things that we had. All of these things are gravitating to the analytical mind, and there's a lot of pressure to make quick decisions. So understanding the context of what we've grown up with and how that context is asking us to more quickly make decisions using the analytical mind, don't trust your gut feeling, that's going to be one of the blocks that you're going to experience, okay? Trust is going to be the key, and when it comes out of nowhere, when it comes out of left field, that's when it's going to be most genuine, okay? Because like just the other day, I was sitting around and I decided to spray wash my truck, including the engine compartment. And I guess maybe I should sell this. Well, a couple days later, I found a wonderful Honda Civic online, and now we're in negotiations, but it's a screaming deal. So I never looked at a car before, but anyway. Point is my intuitive self is drawing me to make these changes.
And so it kind of came out of nowhere. And it's understanding when it comes out of nowhere, it's actually correct. Another thing about intuition is that, and it ties in with the law of attraction. And the law of attraction simply states, have an intention, okay? What does it say? Ask, believe, receive. Sure. Your intention starts everything. Everything is an energy form. Everything ultimately is a thought form. On the spirit world side, we lose the physical body. The only thing that's left, essentially, is thought. And so as you're looking at the law of attraction, you're basically, when you set the intention out, something changes in the universe. And with intuition, the same thing. So to set the intention correctly, you say, okay, what do I see with, Mr. Hottie in the bar? And then you've set the intention out, and you're asking for information. And because that intention came out and said, you know, what about Mr. Hottie? Who is he? Or what's his, you know, background? What's his work? Whatever. You've asked a question that sets the intention. All of a sudden, you're going to get intuitive responses back. These intuitive responses may come through feelings. They may come through thoughts. They may come through remembrances of other partners or friends that just randomly pop in your mind, because there's an association, there's a similarity between the personality of that friend that pops in your mind to this specific person, all right? So a lot of people don't understand that everything starts, similar to the law of attraction, by intention. And so to get the best intuitive information, if you'd like to ask for it, simply ask for it, then quiet your mind and see what thoughts, images, and feelings come up.
That is very powerful. And what I've learned from the Abraham teachings and The Secret is just go into your own little workshop of your mind and daydream. You know, do a 10-minute daydream and see what comes up.
Ultimately, yeah. You know, a lot of people, I used to hate the word meditation. You know, years ago, I've been doing the psychic work for about 20 years, and people always said, you know, you need to meditate to get better. You need to meditate to get better. And just the word meditate, it sounds like, you know, something that's going to, something like Pepto-Bismol you buy in the bookshelf or in the grocery store or something. Like, I don't want to buy anything to meditate, whatever, you know. But the thing is meditation, what is it? It's just simply stopping that little busy mind we got. And one wonderfully powerful tool to increase your intuitive self is meditation. But let's call it what you were talking about, just a quick mental break. One of the ways that people can do it is simply get a focus tool. It could be any focus tool. If you have a nail sticking out of the wall, look at it. Look at the fine detail of that nail sticking out of the wall and just focus on it. And you'll notice the longer that you focus on it, it's more difficult to think. So that's one way to start a mini meditation, because what your goal is to stop thinking. The human mind wants answers. The human mind wants solutions. The human mind wants things. And so it's always quite busy. But as you focus on an exterior object, you'll notice, I mean, just pick a pen on your desk in front of you and just look at it and stare at it for just 1 minute, and you'll notice it's more difficult to think. So meditation is actually the way, and a very clear way, on getting more in touch with your intuitive self. Because an empty mind is exactly opposite to what we live at. And an empty mind is therefore open for intuitive information to come in. Most, what happens is what you were asking, you know, we can get bombarded by intuitive information. I've met mediums. I've met psychics. I had one friend of mine that's now in Holland. I met her at the medium school. She was so overwhelmed with impressions and information about other people around her that during her lunch break, she would go into the bathroom, close the door, and lay on the floor. And, you know, again, everybody has a different degree of intuitive capability innately. But we're always bombarded by impressions. One of the things, like you had mentioned, a voice on the phone, you can get a sense of something. You feel good or bad about it. You know, we have something that I don't know why, but I go in the room and you meet this guy, and you physically feel ill. Now, you may be picking up that he's ill. You also may be picking up that his, he's not the best person to hang out with. You know, but and again, you have to go a little bit deeper with that later. But the point is that you have to look at clearing your mind. That's the very most important thing. How you do it, it doesn't matter. A lot of people can go to the gym and beat themselves up on all the equipment and stuff like that, and their mind really calms down. Other people can sit in front of a lake, and that lake has medicinal powers of clearing the mind.
Gardening, yeah. Going into nature.
Anything that puts you into the present moment, which is Eckhart Tolle, the author, anything that puts you into the present moment awakens your intuition. When you start to just feel the handrail off your balcony, when you start to feel the wind, when you just listen to the birds, you know, anything that does to draw you into the present moment, you're going to be more open to intuitive flashes of information. Each day, of course, you're bombarded with, I mean, not bombarded, but you're going to pick up a lot of things throughout the day because you're always moving through environments with different purple people, places, and experiences. And most times, most people will have their mind busy on a laundry list or a to-do list or running to work or whatever. And so as their intuitive flash says, hey, there's something interesting in that little shop, the mind says, I got to get to work. And you find out that that was a friend that they had not yet met, or it was a job opportunity, or something really fabulous. And so it's always important to be in the present moment as much as you can and get your mind on. Because if you went back over the last 20, 30 years of your life, what was the phrase? It was, I've experienced some truly horrible things in my life, and a few of them have actually happened.
we generally worry too much about everything.
We do.
Nothing really.
We project. We project. Let's pause for a moment. I know a lot of people would love to have a private reading on Skype video or by phone. So how can they get a hold of you?
They can look at my website. It's just easy. It's psychicmike.com. So it's psychicmike.com. And you can take a look. We have some good information about mediumship on there. I have an online video introductory thing. I do offer everybody that does a reading with me with a money-back guarantee, which means if you go for the first 10 minutes and if you're not happy for any reason, I'm very, very happy to stop the session and refund the entire amount. Because it's interesting. Only once in a blue moon do we not provide really good information. So that's how they can
Quite a guarantee. That's wonderful. You really stand by your work. That's great. Mm. I'm going to share something with you. I've been doing it the last few months. I just stumbled onto it. I'm going to run this by you, okay?
Okay.
When I have a day off, of course, we're supposed to have it all planned out and all these things we're going to do. That's what we're taught. But what I've been doing lately on my day off is I just get in my car and have vaguely an idea of where I want to go to, maybe a nice part of town. And I just kind of drive, and I just kind of see what will happen. And you'd be amazed at the adventures I end up going on. What do you think of that?
I love it. I absolutely love it. You know, most people are dropping the kids off at school and going
yes.
to soccer practice and, you know, late for the office and taking a harassing phone call from the boss and, you know, or for the private business guy, the guy's so worried about breaking even this month that, you know, he can't take that pleasurable trip. You know, I was just reading a book before we it's called The Joy of Not Working. I'd recommend that to anybody, even off of Amazon. It's called The Joy of Not Working. And it really does go on with the intuitive self, just like what you practice once a week. Because, again, it's about feeling alive. It's about feeling detached. If you look at the Buddhist philosophy, it's all about detachment of outcome, detachment of want. And it's about being in the present moment. And again, going back to the present moment, it's when our intuitive self goes in. And did you have any interesting experiences you'd like to share, Mike, about, you know, these little one day?
Yeah, what I usually end up doing is finding a street I like with a bunch of interesting stores, and then I'll kind of wander in. And I'll find something great that I want to buy or an interesting person to talk to, or it might even be just a piece of chocolate or some gourmet coffee or something, or I'll just have a cool conversation with someone for a few minutes. I mean, there's small little miracles, and I keep talking about magic moments throughout your day. You know,
absolutely.
Try to have those magic moments. Even if you're walking up to the postman and handing him a letter, make that moment like a magic moment because it'll ripple out through the universe. I mean, that's what I'm getting. That's And that's what I'm trying to do throughout my day.
I agree with you 100%. These steps that you're taking are getting you closer and closer to your intuitive self. And remember, intuition is the gateway to your soul. Every time you follow your intuitive sense, it's the gateway to being exactly where you should be in life. And when you are dealing with issues of anxiety, when you're dealing with issues of worry, when you're dealing with issues of self-esteem, what happens is you choose people, places, and experiences that are lesser than what your soul intended for this specific life. And that's what happens to a lot of people. They get tied down to a lot of things, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, you know, a very large mortgage or car payment, therefore having a stay in a job that is not expressing their true soul's passions, because life can be a series of lives that are dramatically different from each other. And each one of those lives is like sewn together to support your evolutionary soul's development. You know, I was an engineer, then I was a corporate trainer, then I traveled the world, then I worked in Asia, now I'm back, you know, doing readings full time. And so each one of those parts of my life, 5-year periods roughly, so to speak, you know, has been dramatically different. And if people don't shake it up, if they don't toss the 52 cards in the air, if they don't, engage new people, places, and experiences, that's where the kind of gray zone of life occurs, where, you know, each day seems gray. And the reason is you're off your learning curve. You should be doing something new. And so what you're doing once a week to engage new opportunities is fabulous, because I think the key to life, or one of the keys, is to realize that a very random by chance meeting can change the course and the direction over time of your whole entire life, including its outcome, by just a random meeting in a coffee shop, or a random book that you picked up, or a random trip, let's say outside the country. It changes everything that you thought you believed in. And it's a wonderful time for you to play with these ideas and then budget the time of the week if you're a very busy person.
Yeah, the whole thing feels like a total joyous in-the-zone meditation. I mean, it's hard to explain, but I hope people will just do it. Try it. I want to ask you, a lot of people out there are single. They want romance. They want a mate. Take us through the steps, practical steps of how to find your mate.
Well, the best thing you had, like, laying on the rug in front of me, before leaving the day, I'll never leave you. Always around. Always happy to see you. Never argue. Well, I think the most important thing with the soulmate is that they always have the old phrase, you know, marry the one that you love to talk to. It'll pay out later in life. And, you know, it's true based on my own experience and the experience of others. You know, the sexual component is very important to a healthy, dynamic, you know, loving relationship. But it can change over long term. Sometimes it doesn't. And so it's important for you to look at yourself. And if you look back in your 20s, the reason that we, you know, date a lot of people ultimately was to discover who we were, what made us tick, what made us happy. And so, again, throughout your whole lifespan, your interests are going to change. And so I would recommend the best advice for people in looking at relationships is first make sure that your self-esteem is in a relatively good place. We've all dealt with self-esteem issues. When you have a lower self-esteem, you end up choosing partners that are less, again, than your soul actually intended for you to have. And they can come, of course, with a little bit more of a, you know, chaos or roller coaster with them, too. Most important is, again, back to the old phrase, marry the one that you love to talk to. And so list on a single piece of paper, what do I like to talk about? What habits during the week do I really enjoy? What discussions do I like? What activities do I like? And then from that, what you do is you have a profile of a potential partner that you would enjoy, love, and love talking to and doing activities together. So, for example, if you're an avid tennis fan, okay, that's one of them. If you're an avid reader about sci-fi novels, that's another. If you're a person that just can't get enough of ID Investigate Discovery on the television, that's another. A person that loves to travel, that's another.
And so what you do is you write down all these qualities about yourself that just make you feel free, make you engage your passions. You write them on a list. And then you ask yourself, where do these people hang out? So if you're looking, if you find yourself to be a creative type, right? Well, creative types hang out at art fairs, for example. Creative types hang out at comedy clubs, for example. You know, if you're a person that really loves repairing automobiles, for example, well, when the Barrett-Jackson auto auction comes into town, you'll find that personality type there, right? If you're interested in the field of psychology, you know, obviously mental health practitioners or students or so on, you know, people in the counseling field would also be interesting. So it's really first about identifying your passions. Everything is going back to identically what you did in the 20s. It's what do I love to do each day? If I had no schedule, what would I love to do? And then write all these activities and all of these interests down on a piece of paper. And just, then just like marketing, where do these people hang out that like this? And so that's one of the best things to do. Everybody in life is always going to be challenged to find the absolute primo loving relationship partner, because we've all been there, and then we've all been roller coasters on the other hand. But ultimately, everything still comes back to the self. It comes back to a healthy self-esteem and a self-awareness of what I'm interested in. And from that, the world is created around you.
It almost sounds like a similar process for picking out a career, what you're describing.
I think so. And you can trust. You can also trust synchronicity will happen. Synchronicity will absolutely happen. You will meet that absolutely random person that, you know, even outside of these little places I was suggesting, that it just comes out of nowhere. And that, again, these are just these little soul connections that people know intuitively. You're like, this person may not even be like the best looker in the room, or this woman may not be the hottest one in the room. But in fact, there's just an infinite draw to that person for an unexplained reason, because the souls recognize each other from the past life. So, but you can do both things. You can do both things because what I explained a few minutes ago, the only thing you're going to lose out there is nothing, because you're going to end up picking up some really interesting and creative and friends that are really on your kilter. And then also the lover could be out there. Lover, soulmates, partners, and friends are always available around us at all times. A lot of people that call in to me and they ask me this particular question, the ones that seem to call up and ask for reading after reading after reading about it, don't take the advice that seems that comes through the spirit, from the spirit world, from the spirit guide, about taking specific actions to put them in places. And they don't have to be bars, like an art museum. If you're an artist type, if you're a creative type, if you're an admirer of art, guess who else is there at the art museum? The same type. But what I'm saying is, a lot of people will call me up for readings, but they won't take the actions necessary to actually put themselves in those kind of public places or social places or whatever. I always suggest to people meetup.com, if you don't know it.
That's an amazing website. Because any interest that you have, there's a meetup group for it.
Absolutely. And see, again, marry the one you love to talk to. It'll pay out later in life. And so the point is, if you're an avid outdoor hiker, there's hiking groups. If you're a after-work drinker, there's drinking groups. If you're a person that wants to talk about aliens from outer space, that's there on meetup.com. If
well,
you
that,
want to talk
that
about
would be
take,
me.
Take
well, what's that one called? No, but I think people in the metaphysics would do best to join those kind of metaphysical groups. Because it's a pretty big stretch to date someone who's not into metaphysics. I mean, you can do it, but it can be a difficult thing.
Well, I agree, and to some extent with that. But I also like to forewarn the listeners that, you know, when you put really stricter restrictions on things, and you think that spirituality is like the almighty, the end goal or whatever, you know, you could lose some really good friends, some good partners. And if you look at, like, all the friends that you have had throughout the years, you've had specific friends that we'd go out and have a beer with. But you really couldn't talk about psychology with them, right? Then you had other friends that you loved to talk about repairing automobiles. But, again, you couldn't talk about spirituality. Then you had spiritual friends, but they seemed to be so far out in the clouds every day that it wasn't, you know, I liked them in doses, but not 24/7. So don't limit yourself and don't restrict having partners that are only involved in the spiritual community. Just have people that give you the loose choke chain to be yourself, to explore your passion. And they are a little bit open, although they're not completely into the spiritual realm or spiritual stuff. They're still kind of like, you know, that's fine, and that's kind of interesting. I just don't have as much experience, for example, as you do. You know what I mean? So a lot of people put too many restrictions when they're looking at partners and stuff. Ultimately, what's going to happen is you just walk into a random place and there's some sort of chemistry through conversation or possibly sexual attraction. And then next thing you know, there's some kind of connection that starts for a while and then is clarified over a few weeks to see if there's anything that continues further. But I think it is a mistake to only say you should have a spiritual-based partner. Have someone that is curious, a little bit open, maybe doesn't know it, but you know what? There's so many other parts of you to share that it's fine. I look at every individual as like a piece of pie, right? Like, for example, you might be, your degree might be literature in university. You might be now working in retail, right? You may have children. You may be a dog lover. You may love to travel. You may love to write. Each one of these are the slices of the pizza pie that makes you up. And if you can get, you know, six or seven of those slices equal to the other person, the potential partner, that's great, because the other four pieces, that's fine. He's got four other pieces that are completely different, and he needs to do the other things.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So now let's talk about, what if you want to manifest, let's say you have like two or three good ideas for a project you want to do, but you don't know which way to go. I mean, you don't want to waste your time, like 6 months on a project, but they're all similar projects. Like, how would you work that out with your intuition?
Okay. Well, one of the things you could do is do something similar to tarot cards, right? So what you could do is take those three project names, put them on the back of a piece of paper, one obviously you can't see through, or a card, for example. And then, you know, write the names on the back. And then what you do is mix them up so that you honestly don't know which one's which. And then just look at the three cards one by one and write down any and all impressions in the back of the cards separately, each card. And then flip them over and compare. And you can kind of see which one intuitively is drawing towards you a little bit stronger. Because, you know, I believe that, you know, happiness and success, I know when I was young and a lot of young people, it's really all about socializing, you know, having a drink and a laugh and all this other stuff. And that is a part that does carry throughout the lifespan. But one of the things that the younger people don't connect with, and that's fine because the time's not right, but, you know, the sense of personal accomplishment. And that could be just, you know, for example, you know, building a garden in your backyard, or writing a book, or, you know, organizing your house, or painting your house. You know, anything like that, that also gets in an endorphin release of the brain. So as you're looking through specific projects, and especially, you know, those that change throughout the lifespan, it's always important to use your intuitive self into those and, you know, explore what you're intuitively feeling about each. Hopefully there's not too much, like, pressure on, for example, a financial project or something like that, because that was pressuring your intuition. So I would take a look at those three projects intuitively separate and just write down your first impression on each.
Right. Now, what if one of the options is very hard for you to believe that you could actually do it? How do you get around that?
Well, I'm in a similar situation. I was working in corporate for a long time, and I decided, I've been doing the readings for 20 years, and I decided to roll the dice, and I said, you know what? This is what makes me happy.
Yeah.
You know, when I have people with tears in their eyes, when I have people that connect on the mediumship level, and I get again and again and again people saying to me, it says, you know, I feel like a weight's been lifted off of me. I can't tell you how better I feel, you know, just from meeting for an hour and, you know, intuitively sharing things from the spirit guides or from the psychic reading or something like this. And so it's really about your passion. And So, for example, one of the best ways to find out if you're looking at these three projects and you say that one seems a little bit difficult, ask yourself what tasks are involved to get to it. And then if you didn't have to get paid for those tasks, would you enjoy it? Right? Because that's really where there's a line where things are not work. I just love doing it. Some people love, for example, real estate. Others love art. Others love music. Others love building. Others love repair. Others love consulting. And it's really about the things that if all salaries were the same, if all time requirements were the same, which of those three projects, you know, what if I list all the tasks out, which one I enjoy doing the most? Because that's really the key. You can't get to the completion until you get the task done. So if the tasks are outside of your personality's preference, like, for example, I'm not analytical anymore. I'm not good with project management. It's not my forte. But if I require, you know, excessive amounts of these kind of things to get to that goal, I'd have to delegate somebody else or hire somebody else because I wouldn't be happy doing it.
That makes a lot of sense. We're winding down here, about 10 more minutes. So I wanted to ask you about another tool we can use. Mm-hmm. What do you think about working with crystals?
Yeah, well, you know, I believe that all things, like, for example, in my office here, I have a little Buddha temple. I had a stone Buddha from China, which is about 3 foot tall, and I built a wood temple around it with some wood from Lowe's and stained it. Each of these things that you're talking about, crystals, pendulums, tarot cards, or whatever, these things are simply reflection tools that allow you to get into a calmer state, you know, to make better choices. And so I would recommend full force to go with any kind of tools that you think are helpful to you. If you find certain crystals make you feel calmer, it's fine. There can be books on those crystals that say that, you know, crystal A, you know, brings you X, Y, and Z energies. But in fact, if intuitively crystal A gives you different kind of energies, that's your intuitive sense. And go with that because it's about being individual. It's not about a cookie cutter life. So I think it's important for people to use tools to find calm in life, to make better choices, to use their intuition, and to get happier daily experiences.
Absolutely. So maybe give us a final idea or concept for developing our intuition.
Okay. The bottom line is, A, to remember we've been conditioned not to, not only by the corporate world or by the work or, you know, laundry list of the daily responsibilities that we have for ourselves or family. We also have other blocks. For example, we don't trust ourselves, and that's the key. So allowing yourself to make more and more choices on an intuitive level is going to get you what you truly need. And what that is affirmation or, for example, my intuition was off. And that way what happens is you practice and you measure. You practice and you measure. You practice and you measure where you start to trust yourself a little bit better. So, again, it's all about trust with developing your intuition, and primarily trust, and the best way to get intuitive information is through quieting the mind.
Right. So maybe when you're driving in the car, maybe turn off the music sometimes and just listen. You don't always have the radio blasting or the TV blasting.
Well, you know, for example, take 2 minutes a day simply to calm down in your sofa chair and to release everything. Say, look, I'm going to release worry, I'm going to release anxiety, I'm going to release fear. And feel these things just kind of dropping off your body. Okay, and just do it for 2 minutes a day or 2 minutes, you know, a couple times a week, whatever you feel is comfortable for you. And then after that period, ask yourself a question because that's the law of attraction. It will be energy. Okay, what do I do with X, Y, Z opportunity? And then, okay, I feel calm. Ooh, I feel like a promotion is available. I feel there may be travel. You know what I mean? You get the impression and know them, but it's after the calming of the mind.
That makes a lot of sense. Are your readings generally an hour? Are you doing a lot of Skype video? What's a typical reading like for you?
I call them back. I got Skype worldwide, so it doesn't cost me anything hardly to call them. And in fact, I just had a reading out of Queensland, Australia, about a week ago or so. And she was able to input it. And so, yeah, most of the readings are by telephone. And again, the reason I did so earlier in the session today is that your time is safe, so it really doesn't matter where you're at. We can still pick up and if you were sitting in front of me. I don't generally use the video, and the reason is because I'm kind of looking away from the images, so you just kind of see this blank page on me.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of end with a fun question. As a spiritual person, what is your take on Las Vegas?
Well, okay, I moved here in November. My parents have been here for a decade. Ironically, I have found a hidden spiritual side to Las Vegas. And in fact, the spiritual center is in my training. And I don't know if it's the weather or the desert or whatever, but it's actually here. And when you're on the local scene, you know, you stay away from the big casinos. So there, just because they're there, it's mostly for the tourists. It's really interesting art scene here. There's really some interesting music scene here. Downtown is really rebuilding. The first time I've seen that in a decade. I was just at they call it the First Friday. And it's the first Friday every month, and just south of downtown, they have a little art fair. And it's quite big and lively. And in fact, this past weekend, they had an outdoor reggae concert or fair or something like that. So there's a lot of things for the locals to do. And once you get into Vegas, you know, take a look at the meetup schedule. Take a look at, the magazines that tell you what other events are going on. We've got the Grand Canyon 4 hours away. We've got the Red Rocks here, which is a great hiking and rock climbing place, and probably 15 minutes from the Strip. And we got two water parks that have opened up this year, too. So there's a lot of good things here.
Well, I ask you that because if you name any city, a stereotype comes to people's minds. Like if I see Seattle, you have a stereotype, right?
Yeah.
I know. Or yeah. Portland, where I lived. Okay, a bunch of hippies in the rain. But that's just on the surface. And then once you move there or get in there, you create your own world, whatever you want, really.
Absolutely. It's a nice place. We don't have the traffic that you have out in L.A. I was just there a couple months ago. It's a good place. It's a vibrant spiritual community that a lot of people don't know is here. And it's nice because it's only 2 million people. You can get from one corner to the other in 20 minutes. So it's not a bad place to be.
Well, you're close to Sedona, which is a spiritual vortex. So if you go there sometime, I'd like you to come back and report on Sedona for us.
Oh, I've been there many times. I love Sedona. It's about a 4.5-hour trip from here. If anybody has not been out to Sedona and you got some interest in spirituality, it's got the most beautiful red rocks we've got in the country. It's a great place to go. It's a new age hub. You'll see everything from paranormal seekers to psychics to energy vortexes to Native American healing. Everything's out there in Sedona. And it's really grown up since I was there first 20 years ago.
Absolutely. So one last time, go ahead and give out your contact information for a private reading from Psychic Mike.
Okay, well, just look at psychicmike.com. And you can see an information about me. I've got a lot of information here just about, I just published a grieving article that was well received. There's a lot of information there. There's an online video. Again, my readings do come with a 10-minute guarantee, so I do ask for prepayment. But within the first 10 minutes, if you're not happy for any reason, we can stop the session, and I would refund the entire cost. But I can tell you I haven't had that happen yet because we always get good information.
Well, thank you for joining me on Odyssey, and good luck to you in all of your adventures. Take care, Mike.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mike. We'll talk to you soon.
Good night. Everybody have a good night. Thanks for joining me on Odyssey. Namaste.